This is Magic City Soccer. Es el fútbol de la ciudad mágica.
This is Magic City Soccer, your home for everything you need to know about soccer in South Florida. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, whenever you're listening to soccer fans here and abroad. We're happy to have you. Getting started tonight, three folks on the mic, myself included. I'm Matthew Bunch. Let's go to Joel Delgado. Joel, how you doing?
Doing great. How about you guys? How you guys doing?
Pretty good. Can't complain. Proudly rocking the Miami FC kit. Sharp whites here this afternoon, this evening. And Omar Mubayed, how you doing, pal?
I'm hanging in there, buddy. We're a few days away from the weekend. I should say a day away from the weekend and some more soccer action across the leagues. We're good to go, man. We're getting there.
Yeah, we are full-on fired up mode. Soccer is back across the divisions, and there's a lot to talk about. So let's talk about the biggest local news that we have this week, and that is
Naples United signing Breck Shea and Jeff Cameron. All right, no, I'm just kidding. Continue.
Full stop. Yeah, absolutely correct. So find that picture on Twitter for folks who would be interested because it's a good one. But no, it's the CONCACAF Champions Cup.
Oh,
Inter Miami. That little old thing. Inter Miami have officially qualified for the quarterfinals after taking care of business against Nashville SC. Nashville always game. That really is kind of butted into a legitimate rivalry between the two clubs in terms of matching up in important competitions. And ultimately, there wasn't much drama. Inter Miami got on top of them early in the home leg and didn't let off the gas and coast into the quarters pretty comfortably. Omar, what do you take away from this notable achievement in the club's history?
Club's brief history. Again, you know, I think from here on out, every game in the CONCACAF Champions Cup will be the most important game in Inter Miami's short history because of what's riding on the line, and it is a spot in the FIFA Club World Cup. And to be able to earn that spot as opposed to be given it is going to be a big deal, especially in the summer of 2025. And that's crazy to come think about. We're a little over a year away only from the 2025 FIFA Club World Cup. That's bananas. And that's before we even talk about the fact that this summer is Olympics and Gold Cup and everything else. You know, I really do think that Inter Miami, they were able to cement that game early. And I think that was important because they were able to put the foot on the gas early. They weren't giving Nashville any breathing room. And they really cemented the fact that, okay, we're here to play. This is going to be us at full throttle, opposed to from what we saw with the B-minus, C-plus team that played in the weekend against Montreal.
Yeah, I was there for that Sunday match. And no Messi, limited Luis Suarez, you know, in terms of the big four, I guess we'll call them, Busquets, Alba, Suarez, and Messi. Limited involvement of those players. And it's a clear signal that this team is looking at CONCACAF Champions Cup, and they're clearly looking at it because of the Club World Cup implications. One, because it's the Club World Cup and you get an opportunity to play teams from around the world, right? And secondly, it is a tournament that will be taking place in the United States. And I don't think that is a fact that can be dismissed. Is not only is this going to be a high-profile tournament, it's a high-profile tournament if Inter Miami can get involved, where it's not halfway around the world, right? It's right in our own backyards. And I would imagine Miami might be involved in some games. I don't know if that's been confirmed, but I would have to imagine that it seems as though the Club World Cup is going to kind of step in for what used to be the Confederations Cup as kind of the tune-up tournament. So it would make sense that you would have some games in places like New York, Los Angeles, Dallas, and Miami. So, you know, maybe we wind up having a game down here. Joel, what did you take away from the Nashville match? You kind of have a foot in both worlds here, living in Nashville, having the Miami FC connection, so probably a little bit more affinity towards Nashville in that matchup. What was your takeaway from the match?
You know, I mean, Yeah, Nashville had a similar strategy over the weekend. They were resting a lot of their starters for their game against the Galaxy. What ended up being a 2-2 draw. You saw a little bit of Hany Mukhtar. You saw a little bit of Sam Surridge at the end of the game, along with Tyler Boyd. Obviously, resting up, they were also prioritizing the Champions Cup. So, a lot of hype going into this matchup. Lots of talk and chatter over the Lucas Macnaughton foul, I guess you can say. That's a whole nother. The officiating from the last week, we can probably have a whole segment on that. But it was, I mean, I just love like the rivalry that's budding between Nashville and Inter Miami. And it makes a lot of sense. They both came into the league at the same time. They both feel like they have a lot to prove to each other. Nashville kind of going out and winning that first playoff matchup in that first inaugural season. And now you see the tables have sort of flipped once Messi joined the league. And that Messi Suarez connection yesterday was just dynamite. Like you just see it. And if you're an Inter Miami fan, you have to be thrilled with how like Suarez is coming in and just gelling and creating opportunities and chances and also finishing chances also as well. He almost had a goal yesterday as well. And it just just a beautiful stuff from them all around. And again, like setting the tone early was huge for them. And Nashville had their opportunities too, but without Walker Zimmerman in the back, Sam Surridge not 100%. Hany probably still feeling the lingering effects of an injury early on in Champions Cup play. Like they just caught Nashville at a very bad time, and Gary Smith's gonna have to answer a lot of questions for his coaching. But I mean, Inter Miami did everything that you could have asked for them to do yesterday. They took care of business, and you have to be confident going into the quarterfinals and the final eight clubs in this tournament. So whoever they take, whether it's Cincinnati or Monday, it's going to be a really good matchup. So if you're Inter Miami, you got to be pleased.
You mentioned the Suarez Messi connection, and Omar, when you, me, and Franco spoke a couple of weeks back, there were some held breaths and concern about Luis Suarez being integrated into this team, and it would appear as though
We
those
were wrong.
questions it wasn't the first time, won't be the last time. Some held breaths, and since then, a lot of those questions have been answered, and it does remind me of the form is temporary, class is permanent situation where you're not getting Luis Suarez from 10 years ago, naturally. You don't have Messi from 10 years ago, naturally. Although I would say Messi is closer to his 10-year position now than Luis Suarez, and that's no offense meant to Luis Suarez. It's not damning with faint praise. It's praising with unbelievable praise for Lionel Messi. But I mean, you can see how this thing is going to work, and you can see that the goal is going to be try to get three in the first half, and ultimately the defense won't matter that much. If you can connect Alba and Busquets, kind of minding the store towards the back half, Busquets trying to come up maybe a little, but ultimately Suarez and Messi interconnecting. If that works, then all of a sudden, Robert Taylor again becomes one of the most formidable strikers in the world because he's going to be wide open, and you just have all these other things start to unlock. It was real clunky in the preseason, and a little clunky to start. But it does seem like they've kind of that Tata Martino and the technical team and the players themselves have ironed out some of the creases that were originally there.
Yeah, you know
Yeah,
what's
and it's
crazy?
also oh.
No, so I was going to say is what's interesting to me is I think we all looked at it saying, okay, what is a 37-year-old going to do in a highly physical league, thinking that this is just every other 37-year-old and not Luis Suarez, right? And I think that, and in fairness, it's twofold. One, it's us being hyper aware of how physical CONCACAF and MLS soccer is, and then us not being aware enough of how good this guy still is at the age of 37, and how good Messi, obviously greatest player on the planet, being able to still just carve up these defenses, right? So it's almost twofold because again, you're looking at it from one aspect of, damn, this league is physical, but now you also have to wonder, does this league still have to take certain steps forward to be considered one of the better leagues around the world? And I think both are right.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like again, he is 37 years old, so and this is still very early in the season. The key is how they're going to manage the minutes and the time. I mean, you're playing MLS games. You're playing now. You're making a deep run, and you're going to make a play for the CONCACAF Champions Cup, and then you get the Leagues Cup coming up in the summer. So it's going to start to become a situation of load management for a lot of these veteran players that Like you said, I've lost a step or two, but still have lots of talent, and making sure that you're keeping them healthy, especially after that long preseason tour that they took around the world, that obviously took a toll, especially towards the end of it. You can start hearing it from like in Messi's voice and then in the players' voices. We might not be feeling the full effects of that right now, but it's something to keep an eye on going into the summer months as things start to heat up figuratively and literally.
Matt, let me ask you a question. Given what Inter Miami did last year, within the League's Cup and the fact that they were able to win it, should, and we saw the draw. I believe the draw came out today. I think Miami has gotten matched up with, is it Tigres and Pachuca both? If I'm not mistaken, I think that's who they've got placed in their in their group stage. And no, I'm sorry, it's Tigres and Puebla. I'm sorry, not Pachuca. But my thought is, do you think if the champ, if the CONCACAF Champions Cup run goes the distance, let's say Inter Miami wins it, does the League's Cup all of a sudden now take a back seat to regular MLS play? I think it has to, right?
Oh yeah, I would agree with that. To me, when I look back to last season, the League's Cup was a do not pass go, do not collect $200 kind of situation, where it was a way to get into CONCACAF Champions Cup without winning the MLS Cup. And they probably weren't going to, because they were in such a poor position once Lionel Messi joined. And everyone knew what the deal was going to be last year. They were sandbagging until they got Leo Messi in. That was always the plan. They had to land him, or else the entire season would have been a disaster. And it wasn't. And they did it, and you did what you needed to do. I don't think, and again, I'm not in the mind of Tata Martino or the ownership group, but I don't think that they have this particular reverence for the League's Cup per se. I think it took on importance because of what it meant. I think everything is built to CONCACAF Champions Cup and ergo Club World Cup. I think that that's everything, even more than the MLS Cup. I think this is the number one place. I would say that the what makes the MLS Cup different is they're in a position now with it where they're not having to rip off 10 games in a row to finish eighth. They
Right.
should be able to get in the playoffs without going 100%. And I think once you get into the playoffs, then it's a matter of, okay, this is going to take on importance because the season is basically restarted. And by that point, you won't have any other fixture clog. And so I do think there can be this minutes management throughout the summer that can work. And it will be unfortunate for folks like yours truly that are going to Sunday's game, hoping to see Lionel Messi or whatever the case may be. But ultimately, in my opinion, I want my team to win. And what they need to do in order to accomplish that, as within reason, I think it's fair. And I will say about, I do want to circle back to Luis Suarez one more time, because I want to give a hat tip to, I don't even know if he is a listener of the show per se, but I know his social media presence, and I consider him, he's like a Twitter friend, someone you interact with on social media. Bill O'Rourke, Mr. Bill 11 on Twitter, he is an enormous Grêmio fan and watched Suarez last year in Brazil the last couple of years. And when he came in that preseason, he's like, look, there's no way this guy is this bad this fast. Like, he has a bunk knee. Like, that's a true statement now. It's not what it used to be, but he still's got the goods in terms of finishing, unless he just like got sent into a warp over the winter break and now he just can't do it anymore entirely. It would be totally unexpected. And that was my touchstone the first couple of weeks of the season, was like, the guy who's seen more of Luis Suarez than anyone I know in the last 2 years is like still like, yeah, he's still got it. So I do want to give him a little bit of a hat tip. But ultimately, Joel, you're right on the money. This is going to be a summer of rest. Like, who gets rest when, and how can you manage that? And ultimately, I think it's why you bring in the four guys you bring in, is that even when you're resting two of your biggest players, you still have two high-profile players with name recognition that people want to see who are still good. And that's an incredible luxury for Inter Miami that basically no other team in the league can match.
And since the
And keep an
last
eye
time
on
we spoke, and I'm sorry, Joe, again, I feel like I keep jumping in on you.
I know, we
We're
keep
gonna
on
have to
jumping.
start doing a flag system here.
Yeah, we should have like a,
Just a quick, like, it's me, it's my turn. DeAndre Yedlin being moved from this club that happened just a few days after we released the last pod, because of course it would, right? What a significance, because that back line, Again, not against Orlando, right? But every other game, that backline has looked shaky. Even though they only allowed one against Nashville on the second leg of the round of 16 fixture, it doesn't look great. And there's even talk on social media about trying to recall Ne Harry Neville or Henry. I'm sorry, I'm butchering his first name, but Neville's kid to come back and play because he's a natural right back, and that's an issue. It is an issue. And again, it's, you see the names and you see now this urgency of trying to pull guys from South America with, primarily right back experience. And, maybe it was a penny wise and a pound foolish.
Yeah, I think those are kind of like you're masking the problems with such a great front line. When you have those kind of attacking players like Suarez and Messi, you can it covers a multitude of sins, right? Like you can like you know we all knew the back line was going to be an issue for this club moving and coming into this season, and that still is the case. But because of how aggressive they've been and because they've been jumping out to leads early, you haven't had that problem. Just can they maintain that pace? That's the question. I don't know. Maybe it's possible, but again, it becomes a load issue where if one of them gets hurt, God forbid, like that becomes a problem because then you're gonna have to rely on a Robert Taylor to step up in that scenario. And is he right? He looked solid yesterday, but you just don't know. There's a lot of question marks for that back line that you might want to address. And what I was gonna say was, with MLS increasing their roster rules a little bit with the U22 players, that could be an opportunity for a lot of these teams to gear up, especially before League's Cup. There's MLS again kind of making roster rule changes based on a lot of different situations. But there's opportunities to get some reinforcements to the back.
And what I would say about that is, and it's no ding on DeAndre Yedlin at all. He's been a really important player for the club. But to me, that's clearly a signal that rightly or wrongly, and they could very much be wrong, and there will be egg on a lot of faces in Oakland Park. But the club clearly thinks that either through acquisition from South America or from its internal development, that they will be able to, if not completely replace that talent of DeAndre Yedlin, do enough on a small enough number that it'll be worth their while. And like you said, Omar, so far they're not, the most stout defense of all time. But it hasn't, they haven't really collapsed either, really in any of the games so far. And it helps that you have a quality keeper between the pipes. But there have been a few moments, a few 15, 20-minute stretches where you're like, oh boy, they're starting to come apart at the seams a little bit. But there hasn't been the giant blow up in your face. And they now have played, I think we talked about the fact that maybe their early going opposition wasn't as strong as you might expect. But playing Nashville in such a high stakes game and the defense really standing up to the challenge, like that's not nothing. And so, they're never going to be confused for, AC Milan of the mid 2000s in terms of defensive stoutness, but they don't need to, like, by any stretch. If they're losing games 1-0 or 2-1 consistently, that's a problem on the attack, not on the defense. If they're losing games 5-4, yeah, then that's going to be a problem. But this attack should be able, as long as they are competent and somewhat reliable and keeping teams under a two goal average, they should be in good shape.
I mean, I guess we'll see because, the fear becomes is when you start playing a high firepower team. And I think Homer statement, right? Inter Miami is well above the firepower of everybody else in MLS. Like if you look at goals for, realistically speaking, closest team is Portland. And you're not going to see that matchup for quite some time in this season. It's not going to come till the summer. But again, it's one of those situations where has Miami really played a team that can put goals in at will and can really test that back line? I don't think the Galaxy are that way. I don't think Orlando City's that way. Montreal has been surprising. I mean, again, they've started the year with 7 points in their first three matches. I don't think anybody expected that from Montreal. And they did put three past Miami again, significantly reduced Miami side. So I don't know. But yes, if the iota and the MO of this team is going to be the greatest show on turf, then you're absolutely right. Right. If we're gonna have to put on 42 to make sure that we win a game, that's different, right? You know, the old St. Louis Rams statements. But again, though, you can't help but to think that at some point that back line's gonna be a problem, and then you just give away such a big piece of you know, because again, you're giving up a guy with international experience, US men's national team experience, World Cup experience, and now your answer is we're gonna plug and play with what? Do you see what I mean? That, and that's the concern. And again, if you're going to score 5 goals a game, if you're going to score 5 goals a game, who gives a shit? But at the same time, it's hard to say we're going to add by subtracting when it's such a strong piece that almost any team in MLS would die for.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be, I don't think it's about addition. I think it's about dollars on a spreadsheet somewhere in terms of roster, not roster compliance because they are compliant, but roster management and value over replacement, I think is what they're looking at here. That do can they afford to make some space on the back line money wise to free up whatever they need to do elsewhere? I'm not saying they will. I just think clearly the club thinks they can. And so far, they have been able to get in young talent, really young talent, get them on the pitch and have them contribute when they've done so the last, you know, year. Is that just the Lionel Messi effect and it's rising tide lifts all ships? Perhaps. But if they're seeing that consistently, then they need to react accordingly. Again, only time will tell. I don't know. And I'm not saying I inherently trust that the club is absolutely correct. I just, to me, that's my read of the situation, what they're thinking. And again, may blow up in their face. They may be in a tight game somewhere in the playoffs, and there's a key mistake made by a right back that Yedlin wouldn't have made, and that's the game. And if that's the case, then they're gonna have to live with that
Right.
in, you know, for the, an entire offseason. But it's early and they'll have time to, you know, so much of this regular season for them outside of the knockouts of the Champions Cup is tooling around, seeing what works, you know. And you know, the Sunday game against Montreal was proof of that. That was a game which they were throwing some guys out there, seeing what worked. So, oh, wait, it's close. We can still get a point here. Let's see if we can get Suarez out there for 15 minutes. Okay, that didn't work. Never mind. You know, it's they're gonna figure out what's gonna work or not.
The DC United game is going to be similar. Again, it's going to be an issue where Messi's
Absolutely.
already, I mean, again, I don't know if Messi has already been officially ruled out, but he more than likely looks like he's not playing. The question is going to be, is Luis Suarez going to play, or is it going to be you know, Leo Campana and Robert Taylor special up top? And then is Jordi Alba going to play? Because we saw what the back line looked like without Jordi Alba against Montreal. So again, yes, there's a lot of load management, but at the same time, is if Miami is just going to say we're okay with being in a playoff spot, fine, we get it, right? Load management, CONCACAF Champions Cup comes first, and that's the ultimate priority. But don't be surprised if this team is, you know, challenging for one of the last spots, considering how many minutes they're going to have to give away.
Yeah, I would say it's very fair to speculate that Lionel Messi will never be lifting the supporter shield in his time in Major League Soccer. I just don't see them really burning the proverbial midnight oil and giving everything they got to win the regular season games. And I wouldn't, you know, again, as a fan, I always want to see the best lineup anytime I walk in the stadium. But like as a rational fan or as someone who wants to see the club do well, I would not. I would absolutely get in the habit of rotating these guys in and out, and you know, for the big games, throw all four in. But when you get a guy a bit of rest, let him do it, and you know, you've got your eyes on the big prizes.
But you see the problem with that, though, because Messi is literally the biggest marketing thing that MLS has ever had in the history of the league. So if you start doing this rotation thing where you start giving people rest, what are you gonna you're gonna have people in markets like DC or Kansas City or wherever that are gonna be really upset when Messi sits. And what are you gonna do? Because this is gonna be a problem when I mean, Miami's gonna be pressured a little bit to continue to play Messi, I think, because if he stops playing and if they don't explain why, you can have a lot of angry fans around the league. And I think you're starting to see a little bit of a backlash. I mean, the chatter among the national fans is that we're kind of tired of the Messi experience already. It's become a little tiresome when you're seeing, I mean, for me as a season ticket holder, seeing my tickets for CONCACAF Champions Cup go 4.5 times more expensive than the usual price. And yet this is a week and a half out. You don't know what Messi's going to play. What if Messi sits? I mean, this is
Yeah,
going to be
but he's
a
not,
problem.
but he's not in Champions Cup. And the issue as well is that I don't think Inter Miami is going to give a shit what away fans are worried about whether or not Messi's going to play, because it's buyer beware. You're buying a ticket to the game. You're not buying a ticket to see a player. Granted, this is an NBA issue right now too,
Yeah.
but Inter Miami is going to do what's in the best interest of Inter Miami. And I think if the argument's going to be, well, you know, a family of four, the response from Inter Miami is going to be, well, if you really want to watch Messi, what you probably are going to want to do is you're probably going to want to book a flight to Miami and get to a home game. That's going to be the response. That's the only response necessary.
Well, and
Yeah, I
I will
get it.
say two things about that. One, I don't think it's an accident that the first time the team deployed the let's rest some guys strategy was a home game and not an away game. I think that's the team sending a message to the rest of the league, like, hey, it's not about you guys. It's not you, it's me. You know, it's we are trying to do this to like ensure our competitive nature. And the second thing is, Omar, the reason why it's an issue in the NBA is not because the NBA cares about the home fans, it's because of the broadcast partners. And ultimately, the broadcast partner most tied to any league in American sports right now is Apple TV to Major League Soccer. And so if it's not necessarily going to be about you know, a Clark Hunt in Kansas City being upset, it's going to be Tim Cook. And if Tim Cook is bothered by this, then that potentially becomes a problem. But to me, there are ways around that. You know, in terms of getting rest, it doesn't necessarily mean sitting out 90. It means playing the first half. Like anytime they get a 2-0 lead, honestly, I would be pulling Lionel Messi off and hoping you can see it out the rest of the 45. You know, in terms of just trying to see what happens. You know, I like not to divert too much, but Liverpool was playing in the
Here we
Europa
go.
League today. Well,
Someone ring a
and
bell.
they won on aggregate 11-2. They were going into the match up 5-1, and the starting lineup was like full strength, and again, not one to question Jurgen Klopp at all. But I'm like, you don't want to give any of these guys some midweek rest. You don't think that'd be a good idea? Again, he knows more than I do, but I was just shocked. Like, you know, you finished winning 11-2. I don't think you needed to go that far. And I think that Tata Martino is going to have to, considering the age of his stars, he's going to have to roll the dice a little bit on, hey, we're up 2-0. It's 50 minutes. Let's pull him off. Not going to go the whole 90. And everyone knows Lionel Messi hates not playing the whole 90. If he's going to play, he wants to play the whole 90. Well, someone's going to have to sit him down and say, well, the alternative is you play a lot less games, and Tim Cook's going to come to my house, and there's going to be a horse head in my bed. You know, like it's I don't want to wind up in that situation with the broadcast partner mad at me.
And that's fine, and I get it, but you know what? You knew the fixture clog ahead of time, broadcast partner, right? You knew the creation of the Leagues Cup was going to be an issue. You knew the issue that CONCACAF Champions Cup was going to be there. I mean, again, I don't think Apple's going to be in play for the FIFA Club World Cup in 2025. I'm pretty sure that's going to go to ESPN, or it's going to go to Paramount, or it's going to go to somebody else. I don't think it'll go to Apple, but if it hasn't already been decided, I should say, because otherwise I'd be recklessly speculating. But again, if we think fixture clog is bad now, what's it going to look like next year? Especially if they do win CONCACAF Champions Cup and they're in that FIFA Club World Cup. Because if that's going to be the case, you throw your hands up and say the first 3 months of the season, who gives a shit? Especially if we're going to be playing it in the summer.
Yeah, I think that when you look at the thing that Apple TV had last year, was they had the Leagues Cup and they had MLS, and the only thing they didn't have was the Open Cup. And that was basically, well, but that's what I'm getting to, is that that was three games, right? Once Messi arrived, it was the semifinal, and then the final, and that's it. So it was, you were not getting that much fixture clog interfering with the broadcast stuff. Now you are getting a lot of Lionel Messi games on Fox. They'll be, I mean, presumably, if they can continue in the tournament, you're going to get a lot of Fox broadcasts. And, you know, again, one of the rivals essentially got bumped by MLS, clearing the way for some of the fixture clog for this club. So I do think that's an issue. Again, not to put on the aluminum tinfoil hat and become conspiratorial, but like, I definitely think Apple is wanting to preserve their investment in this league as much as possible, and the league knows that. And they are working hand in hand to ensure that there are as few disruptions to the messy Apple tie-in as possible.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. And I think, yeah, it's not a coincidence that MLS is trying to pull out from Open Cup at the same time that Messi comes into the league. I think this is the final like cog in the final like the straw that broke the camel's back to proverbially say. You saw it in the interview in today's Athletic. If you haven't read the Athletic article with Don Garber and Nelson Rodriguez, you owe yourself an opportunity to do it. Because that shows you exactly what MLS's priorities are. It's a matter of control. If they don't control something, then it's something that needs to be either like put aside or put out of the way or just put down. And that's how they're treating the Open Cup, and that's how they're treating the congestion issue.
And what's funny is that our buddy in Tampa, Mike Pendleton, he said the same thing on Twitter, right? He said the exact same thing on Twitter. I said the exact same thing on Twitter earlier today, on the notion that the MLS and some owned the US Open Cup for about a decade, and they decided that they didn't want to do
Yes.
anything with it. So now all of a sudden, right? Oh, it's okay now, right? It's okay now that we have a massive marketing arm that can push Leagues Cup in. And oh, by the way, that you need to f sub to a subscription with. I realistically speaking, I mean, again, it's just kind of one of those things that it always baffles me, because it's like, are we really going to try to say here that the US Open Cup and the Leagues Cup are equivalent in prestige? Really? Like, are we doing that? Is that what MLS really wants everybody to believe? Because, man, like, come what? No, it doesn't make any sense. And you know what? The more I think about it, and after reading the excerpt from the Athletic article today, like, really, shame on the US Soccer Federation. Because heaven knows that if I had control of the US Soccer Federation, my next phone call was, oh, you guys don't want to play in the Open Cup? All right, cool. That's what you want to do. Okay, if you choose not to field a team, it's going to be an automatic forfeit. Oh, and by the way, my next phone call is to the USL Championship side or the USL offices and saying, if you apply for Division One, you're going to get granted. And let's do it. Start
Preach.
promotion relegation. You have 2, 3 years. You're going to be a Division One side. We're boosting everybody else up. Now let's do it, because let's see how exhibition against sporting merit plays out in this country. But there's no backbone at the Federation, and thus you don't see
Yeah.
anything like that. Because I again, it's the oldest. It's the oldest tournament within the United States pyramid for this sport. And it's just like it just the back. It's like, could you imagine if this was being done again in any other country? In any other country that even wants to claim that they are a soccer nation, that the top flight, top division, Premier League, Ligue 1, La Liga, say, nah, we're good. Nah, we're not playing. We're not playing in that. We're good. We're just gonna just sit here and just go, nah. Don't worry about it. Here's what we will do. We'll get you our Premier League 2 teams, and we'll get you our La Liga B teams, and then you'll have Barcelona in that way, or you'll have Manchester City in that way, or you'll have Liverpool in that way. It would never fucking happen. It would never fucking happen. And you know what? And as we talked about it with Franco a couple of weeks ago, good on some of these supporters groups for standing up and saying, this is bullshit. And because I'm like, again, call it for what it is. This is bullshit. If it costs me a credential, I don't give a shit. It's bullshit. Every team in the United States should field a team in this tournament. If you don't want to be part of this tournament, you can choose to take a forfeit and not field the team. And that's fine. It'll speak volumes about what you are. But you know what? Shame on the Federation for not saying, oh, this is what you guys want to do. Okay, you do realize that they're an active threat, right? That again, the idea that you guys are gonna you want to shun USL out? Okay, cool, no problem. Let's try it this way. Let's see what happens. Let's put everybody on a level playing field and see where it goes.
I mean, the issue
100%,
is
yeah.
that the, sorry, Joel, I'll make my point really quick, that it's funny, I was going to make my point and then I sold out there for a second. The point I wanted to make is that MLS has tremendous voting control over the decisions made by the US Soccer Federation because of the amount of seats that it has. It's not a majority, but it's damn near close. And they do have the power to exert what they want to exert. And we know that because they did it. And again, we talked about this a lot in the last episodes. I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole, but you could have just called the kids up and played. That's the thing that kills me about this is you could have just done what every other team does and just call up kids, let them play, get them in the experience that is crucial to eventually get them up into the quote unquote big leagues. You put them in the shirt. Again, not to make this all about Liverpool, but that was what they did with the Carabao Cup. It was kids and kids, and the kids were winning.
But
And the
that's what
kids.
they're going to do now. That's what the MLS roster, that's what Joel alluded to a few minutes ago, that they're going to allow part of the MLS roster rules. So in league play, it's going to be okay. But oh, we're not going to do it in the Open Cup because
Yeah.
heaven forbid that Messi makes the finals again and the games are going to be broadcasted on ESPN.
Yeah. It's silly.
It's absurd. It's absurd. And like, that's the thing. It's like, you know, and you're and American soccer fans better start paying attention because this is going to be happening everywhere. I mean, you're seeing this with the Town FC thing that you're seeing in San Jose. I don't know if you saw the news about that the other day, but they're moving their MLS Next Pro team into the East Bay, which is Oakland Roots country. But why are they doing that? You have a John Fisher owned team. It's a farce. And they're planning to do more of this in more markets where they're moving their two teams, their MLS Next Pro teams, from like their own markets into markets that are seen as potential growth opportunities. What's next? You're going to see Tulsa. You're going to see maybe San Antonio. Who knows? I mean, this is where this is heading. And if U.S. soccer fans don't start paying attention, you're going to see M Major League Minor League Soccer, MILS. That's the system that MLS wants to implement in this country. And if MLS fans want that, then fine. But you're seeing, I mean, kudos to the St. Louligans. They've been the loudest, supporters groups kind of leading the forefront against this, for the Open Cup, because they understand how important it is. 110 years of soccer history. It's the closest thing we have to a tradition in this country. And of course, MLS wants to just trample over it because they don't have control over it. And that's where, like, yes, the Soccer Federation needs to stand up and say, yeah. And like, keep an eye on the NASL lawsuit this September, because I'm telling you, they are, I'm sure the NASL lawyers are salivating at the bit. They're chomping at the bit to use this. And who knows, we might not even have a PLS in 2025, 2026. And then that could open the door for USL to apply for D1 sanction, but that's getting ahead of ourselves. But that's where this is heading.
Yeah, it's interesting times. We can never go too long without some sort of major court issue rearing its head in American soccer. But speaking of the league that is potentially stepping into that void, let's talk about the USL and the USL Championship and the Miami FC. The Miami FC kicked their season off. The Miami FC get a pretty damn good result. Joel, you're the man with the crest on his chest right now, so I'll go to you first. What's your takeaway from this big opening win against the Switchbacks?
I mean, if you're a fan, you're giddy. I mean, watching the Saturday performance, you're just like, I mean, no one knew what to expect from Antonio Nocerino's side. Like, what kind of formation they were going to use, what kind of style of play they were going to have, where they're going to have an identity, how are these kids going to look? A lot of these kids from like 20, like 19, 20, 21 year olds from Italy. Like, how's this all going to work together? And a lot of people predicted this team to finish at the bottom of the table, but they came out. And they had an identity, and it was almost refreshing after 2, 3 years of seeing, at Miami FC, spent to their credit, spending a lot of money on some like USL stalwart players. But for some reason, maybe it was the higher expectations that were crushing on these players, and they just kind of wilted under the weight of it. But they just never looked cohesive. They never put together a big run. They never looked comfortable out there. They didn't have an identity. Under Anthony Pulis, and later Luis Neal kind of had a little bit more success with them, but still nothing to the degree of what we were expecting from them. And then all of a sudden, you see these kids come out here and they play a system that works, and it was fun, and they looked energetic, and they were making plays, and they were creating opportunities, and they were capitalizing on those opportunities, and they were tight defensively. They had discipline. I don't know what they were doing in the offseason, but whatever it was, I mean, these players are buying into the system that Antonio Nocerino, who, as players have said, has a really high soccer IQ and had a lot of experience in Serie A, and for the Italian national team. So, like, it's really interesting to see this team have an identity, a tight defensive performance. They only control possession 38% of the time. But like our friend Leifon said, like, it's not about possession, but progression is better than possession. And you saw them with the time that they had, they were creating opportunities. And you had Andrew Booth out there scoring that really nice goal in the first half that kind of took the air out of the balloon for Colorado Springs, and they had their chances, but Miami FC just remained tight defensively as well. So I was really impressed with this performance. I mean, I still don't think it's early. It's one game. You don't get too excited about one game. But if this is an indication of things to come, then this is a really great game to build off of for this club.
It's not just the one game. It's kind of gives you hope that we haven't had for quite some time, because I think for the last 2 or 3 years, really almost since this club has been in the USL Championship, it's just been like it. This club has a dark cloud hanging over its head, and that dark cloud is its history of winning championships in the NASL, and then absolutely destroying, the MPSL and all the lower division matches that it played in, which, if you really take a step back and realize, they did that with Division II caliber players, right? And they were still on those contracts. And we get it. Like, we were all spoiled having a front row seat to all of it, but winning is addictive, right? Winning is I mean, shit, it might be more addictive than heroin, but it is one of those things where you kind of sit there and you think, okay, and then you see kind of like this mid-table team, and Miami FC hasn't really ever been a mid-table team. And then it's all of a sudden like, oh, we're fighting for the last playoff spot. And it's like, it feels weird. It feels like we're underperforming, but maybe we weren't. And now, when you look at this overhaul with U23 guys on it, basically, and you look at this team and you don't know who the fuck anyone is, I'm gonna be honest, you don't. I mean, I'm just gonna, I mean,
Yeah.
but it's true though. It's true. Like, you're
It's
signing
true.
guys from Italy, you're signing guys from South America, and you don't know who they are, and because their names don't ring a bell. And I'm having conversations with Kartik, and I'm trying to explain to him. I said, buddy, I understand that you're picking them to finish last, and may not disagree with that, but it's hard to say how many points they're gonna get when we have zero idea who the hell is lining up on the pitch. We can't wait, like, who? Like, the only ties we have to this club and this roster right now are the holdovers from last year and the guys that played at FIU. Other than that, there's not one person in this city who's not actually blood related to one of those players who has any fuck all idea who they are. And they go out and they beat a good Colorado Springs Switchbacks team 2-0. And guess what? They get Sacramento, who's perennially one of the best USL Championship teams, coming into their dorm now on Saturday at 7 p.m. And if you get a win, if you beat Sacramento, oh shit, this might be real. This might be real.
It's going to be very interesting to see what they do against Sacramento because, I mean, look at the run that they have. You got Sacramento this week. You got Charleston next week. That's
No,
not
you
going to
got
be a
Orange
cakewalk
County in
either.
the middle,
Oh, sorry.
on the
You're
road
right.
to Orange County. Yep.
Orange County on the road, which is not easy either. But then you have Charleston at home, and then you have, I think, Tampa coming to your house. That is a tough schedule to start off the year for this young squad. And like, if they can get out of here with maybe two wins and a draw in that span, then that puts them in a really good spot moving forward into the summer. And I think that's one of the things we talked about in our chat was like, this is how they should play in Miami when you have the suffocating heat and the humidity, and these teams are not used to that coming into this place, and you're taking it to them and you're pushing them and you're going over the top with them. Colorado Ch Springs was trying to press, but like Miami was content to go over the top to Frankie Lopez up front. And it worked and it created some really good opportunities. And I mean, who knows? I mean, it's going to be fun to watch players like Avellanes develop. He was really shifty out there on the side, in the front next to Lopez, and paired with him really well. I mean, the back end with Nicolas Cardona, who was one of the USL first team players of the week. Like, he was really tight in the back and was winning duels and was like really anchoring that, like, was and with Benafumble, like as a holdover from last year. I mean, this team could have the pieces potentially. As you learn more, it's a really be a competitor and like maybe even like qualify. This league is just so like, I mean, the East has gotten really tough. There's a lot of great teams, and
Yeah.
even teams like Loudoun and Hartford are making improvements. So that's why Miami FC can't afford to sit on its back here. But if these young kids and this, I mean, kudos to whoever was scouting them, finding them. It looks like they have a really cohesive team out there, and they knew what they were doing. They put them in the right spots, and they bought into the system that they want. And that's the thing. You have a system in place. You plug them in, and then you see, and then you let it fly, and that's what you want to see. So we'll see.
I risk turning this into a let's just quote Lee Ephens show, but something he shared the day after the match that really stuck with me ever since was Notarina built a team with an identity in 90 minutes. Pulis couldn't manage it in well over a year. And Joel, you hit on that same idea. And apologies, Lee, if you didn't want that shared publicly, but I think that's the common
He
theme here
doesn't
is
give a
that
shit.
no, I know, but I know, but I didn't exactly ask for his clearance before sharing it. But it just it I've been thinking about it ever since. I'm like, yeah, that's fun. You know, like give me something where it's like, okay, you got young kids that are gonna buy into a system that's understandable, that like we can understand and see how it would proceed and develop. I'll watch that. You know, I'll see how that turns out. It might be a mess, you know, by the time you get to the back half of the season, you know, the kids might just not have the juice in the tank to carry it through an entire USL schedule. But like you guys said that they're gonna be through a cauldron here at the beginning. Like it's gonna be a trial by fire. And if they can get through it relatively unscathed, if you know, if you again, if you can pull a couple 3-pointers and a draw, like you said, Omar, okay, you're off to the races. That's a hell of a platform that you can then build on, and you can afford to have a trip up or two some point in the middle of the season. So again, it's far too early to judge. It's far too early to start, you know, measuring out the space to hang a banner or anything like that. But it
No,
is.
but I don't think any I don't think anybody's thinking, you know,
Of
banner
course
race
not.
like that. But I
I'm
do think,
being
you know what it is?
hyperbolic.
I know, but it is a breath of fresh air. It's a breath of fresh air for a team that needs it. And the problem is, again, is that they're gonna go on a run and we're gonna bitch about their lack of support and we're gonna say it's a shame and everything else. And it's all true. It's all true. But you know what though? You win, you put butts in seats. Again, you're the more value option alternative for a family. Like all these things can still be true, but you can be the biggest value in town. And if you're not winning seats, you're not winning games, you're not putting butts in seats. I mean, there is a stadium in Little Havana that shows the same. Which $21 on resale for opening day. What the fuck are we doing here? Should be like five, $6. It's a Thursday afternoon, first pitch at 4 p.m. What the hell are we doing over there? Sorry, tangent.
No, it's and yeah, that's the thing. Like, you know, winning cures a lot of ills, and like, you know, you don't need 15,000 fans to show up. You need 3,000, 5,000. That's what. You know, if you can get 3,000 like fans regularly at a Miami FC game, like that'll do. Like for a USL Championship side, like for now in this market, like that'll do. Like you just need to get some of the suburbs. You got to work with the kids. Use that academy to, you know, drive their families and like let their families tell their friends that hey, there's another soccer team out here that actually plays in Miami. That's kind of fun to watch. They're, you know, there's no they don't have a Messi, but they have like, you know, some really fun young kids that are like playing a kind of soccer that's fun to watch. And that's really that's all we really want. We just want a fun, exciting brand of soccer to watch. And
Drew's
you know,
gonna have
it's
something to
gonna be
say
fun.
to you about the soccer mom approach, but all right. We'll leave
Yeah.
that for Drew.
You know, like if you find you get them where you can find them. So, and that's, you know, I don't know. We'll
Ultimately,
figure it
none of
out.
it works if they don't win.
I
Exactly.
agree. I agree.
It doesn't in Miami, it does not matter what you do. It doesn't work if you don't win. You can win and it still doesn't work. Don't get me wrong, but you gotta get that part first. You gotta be winning and entertaining. If you can check those off, you'll draw. If you
Dude, I
don't,
was paying $7 a game for Florida Panthers season tickets fucking 12 years ago. And now I can't touch a season ticket in the upper deck for less than $25 a game. And it's only been 12 years. I mean, granted, what they're doing now is completely different, but like, again, if you win, it works. Again, and I agree with you. Sometimes if you win, it doesn't work. It depends on how obscure, again, your niche is, right? But at the end of the day, like, you just got to win and you put butts in seats. And I think people will realize, like, okay, this is something that we can back. This is something we can get behind. And oh, we haven't even mentioned that there's going to be games being played at FIU Soccer Stadium instead of the football stadium coming up. And the first one being that Tampa Bay Rowdies matchup in a few weeks.
I'm
That's
looking
going to be an
forward to
interesting
that.
experiment. Yeah. I mean,
I'm
because
looking
that
forward
place,
to
I'm, yeah, I've been to FIU soccer games where if you fill up those stands, it's fun. I mean, yeah, those stands need to be renovated like yesterday, because I mean, you feel like
years
you're
ago.
fighting for your life. If you're in the press box, you feel like you're like, I hope this thing doesn't fall.
What
But
press
like,
box?
you know,
There's no press box. We did the
yeah,
broadcast of that game. You're standing on
that's true.
literally a stilt above the
Yeah, the
entire
press
bleachers.
ledge.
The
It's more of a
press
press
ledge.
ledge.
The press perch.
So, but I mean, who knows? Maybe they can, I don't know, they can renovate that side and make it like, you know, put a I don't know if you could fit 5,000 in that small little square that they have there, but like that could be a sustainable future for them if that's what they want to do, something smaller than, and then play the big US Open Cup games or the championship games at FIU Stadium if you want to. Like there's ways to communicate with the university there that I think there's opportunities for a more intimate venue. And that could be something too that's attractive because you don't want to sit. You don't want 300 fans sitting in a 20,000 seat stadium. That doesn't look good on TV. That doesn't look good for the fan. It's not good for the fan experience. Like, it's time to talk about maybe finding a smaller, more intimate venue and market it as like, this is your local club. This is like a hyper suburban club that you can have and you can root for with a few thousand people, but it's going to be fun, but it's going to be tight and it's going to be, whatever you want it to be. That's what I think, that's what Miami FC needs to look forward to. And maybe this can be a trial run for that.
Matt, are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Well, what I'm thinking was exactly what Joel mentioned, which is that really should be the long-term plan,
Oh, I'm
is
thinking we
to.
go back to Cobb Stadium.
Oh, well, that's the dream. That's always the dream, is to, Mama's calling and we got to go home and go to Cobb. But no, but the to Joel, I agree with you 1,000%. And now that the stadium has reverted to the name FIU Stadium, it's no longer Ricardo Silva Stadium
The
officially.
Ricky.
It's no longer the Ricky officially. It's still the Ricky in our hearts, but
You know how many text messages I got from Achilles saying, please don't call it the Ricky. This is very, please stop calling it the Ricky. Don't call it the Ricky. This is, I'm getting my head beat over because you're calling it the Ricky. And I'm like, but it's Ricardo Silva Stadium. What the hell else would you call it? It's the Ricky.
No, that's a great one. That's one of
It's,
the
I love
that's
it.
one of the best ones. But yeah, no, I think if you put a little bit of TLC into that soccer stadium, that's a really nice spot. And again,
It could be a little Ricky.
but little
Little
Ricky,
Ricky.
you
Sorry, I had
was
to do
like
it.
you
I'm
said,
gonna get
no,
a
it's
text
perfect.
tomorrow.
You reserve the right to pull up into the big stadium, like you said, when you. When Inter Miami returns to the US Open Cup in question mark and that game winds up getting played at FIU Stadium, you don't want it there. You do want it at a bigger stadium, and it's there, and it's right there, and everyone already knows where that is as a reference point. But yeah, you put in a second bleacher on the opposite side, you put a couple shipping container bar restaurant things in the corners. You got yourself a really nice venue that seats 5,000 to 6,000. And that's it. That's all you need. You don't have to play these games of trying to shift people around in this giant stadium, which, I mean, FIU football does that a lot too. And obviously they're not going to go back down to the soccer stadium, but Miami FC does have that option. Maybe it's in their plans, maybe it's not, but I think you could get a lot of bang for the buck without having to deal with, what's the name of the company that does the Premier ticketing
Oh
services
man,
or whatever?
yeah,
Yeah.
whatever,
And
yeah.
all that rigmarole, you could really simplify things. So,
Andy Frayne Securities.
yeah, Andy Frayne. I almost had my toe broken by Andy Frayne services one time. That's a story for another day. But
So what I'm hearing you say is that on April 11th on Thursday at 7 p.m., you and I are both going to be at FIU Soccer Stadium.
I mean, I wouldn't use your blue pen yet, but I would say you could pencil it in. I'm literally looking at my calendar right now to see if there's any
A
conflict on
Thursday
April
nighter,
11th.
baby. Thursday night soccer.
Yeah, that's probably going to be on the list. So yeah, pencil that in there if you want to see Omar and me, and maybe Joel, you hop on a bird and get down here too, because I think that'll be a hell of a lot of fun. I think that'll be
Don't
a
tempt
lot of
me with a
fun.
good time, man. Yeah, that Tampa matchup is going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to think
Yes.
about it. I got a couple of vacation days left before before my work anniversary comes up, so
Let's go,
we'll see.
baby.
Let's go.
So yeah, so looking ahead, we have Inter Miami. We mentioned the DC United game that is kind of this weird will he, won't he, messy situation. It
He
appears
won't.
won't. And Tata Martino was pretty explicit about that because of a bit of a knock he picked up against Nashville. So now it'll be how much more of the core four will hit the field in DC. And then the next game for Miami FC is, help me out, somebody.
For
It's
Miami FC is going to be this weekend, Saturday against Sacramento.
Thank you very
Yep,
much. Yes,
at home.
Sacramento. And that's going to be a real test because they were top of the table in the West last year. Am I correct?
I want to say that you're correct. I mean, again, they are formidable. Of course, everybody knows them from their Open Cup run a couple of years ago, losing to Orlando at Orlando. And again, they've always been a strong side. I think they've had one year where they were maybe a cellar dweller, but other than that, they've always put a good product on the pitch, and they're a hard out. And I think, again, hopefully the travel kind of wears on them a little bit. But I, you know, with all due respect, that's a team you can't take lightly.
Yeah, they were the top point earner in the West by 7 points last year over Orange County, and they were second in the entire USL Championship behind Pittsburgh. They actually got more points than Tampa Bay last year. So again, that should be an interesting showdown that we'll be able to see. And right, it's funny, I just checked the 24 table to see where they stand, and Miami FC is at the very top of the Eastern Conference right now. So that's a fun thing to look
Want
at.
to know? You love to see it.
Yeah, you
Yeah,
love to see
stop the
it.
count, guys. That's it. Stop
Stop the
the
count, he says. Stop the count.
count.
One of the things also we should bring up is there's midweek action, but it is on the road. First round of the Open Cup begins this week, March 19th. You've got Hialeah's own Miami United on the road, headed up to Chattanooga, renewing that rivalry of a couple first round matchups from the NPSL and things like that.
Yes.
So that's going to be March 19th on 6 p.m. I'm pretty sure that game should be broadcasted through some outlet. I want to say those games are going to be back on YouTube, and we know that Chattanooga puts a decent broadcast out, so that should be one to watch. And again, there are two other teams I believe in the first round based out of Florida. I want to say one is Club de Leon, out of, are they still out of Orlando? They're somewhere up in that mid central Florida
I
area.
believe so, yeah.
They're going to be the NISA component that's in. They're playing a team called AS Frenzy. They're also on the road. Don't ask me where AS Frenzy's from. No fuck all idea. And there is one more Florida team. I think it's a team based out of Middleburg or Middleton, just outside of Jacksonville. They're in it as well. Again, I should know who they are. I don't. I'm not even stalling to look it up because I'm not going to get it right. But it is one of those things, is that there are three components. If either of these three team wins, more than likely that'll be your second round matchup for Miami FC in the second round of the Open Cup.
Yeah, it should be fun. You know, we want that Miami United, Miami FC matchup. Oh, no, the other team, Omar, is Brave
I
FC.
was thinking, I looked at that. They're
Yes.
playing the Savannah Clovers at home. Yep.
Correct. And which I will never forgive this club for changing one of the great brands in American soccer.
No,
Because
is this the Villages?
this is
You
the former Villages SC.
motherfuckers.
And so I
Why did they
hope that
change it? Oh, that's so
I
sad. Because they
because
don't
they
want to
probably
be known
hired.
as the team with the golf carts and the STDs. You know what I mean?
I'm telling you right now, I hope they lose 10-0. I mean, I hope they are
Yep.
cursed until they come to their senses and change back, because that was one of the great teams in American soccer. But yeah, so it's you got Brave, you got Club de Leon. Club de Leon is, was it like up in Merritt Beach or Daytona. It looks like they're, no, it says, yeah. So for NISA games, they are in Daytona, but they're still kind of affiliated with Orlando too. But that is a Daytona home game if a home game winds up there. Yeah. So we're hoping for Miami FC and Miami United. That's always what we like to see. And so,
Yeah,
yeah,
always a fun rivalry. I love that little derby. It's been kind of like a nice little rivalry for the last few years in the Open Cup as a kind of like a warm up or like a just a ex like a kind of like the you know, to earn your right to play. Well, used to be Inter Miami. Who knows who's going to be now? I think can't remember which the what's the closest MLS team that's going to be there for the third or fourth round, depending on what it
Not
is. Maybe
Orlando.
Atlanta, not Orlando, right? Yeah,
Not
probably Atlanta.
Orlando. I think it's Atlanta.
I think you're right.
I think it's Atlanta.
I thought Orlando was in.
No, Orlando's a CONCACAF Champions
Oh yeah,
team,
you're
so
right.
they're
Yep,
out.
it's Atlanta United. You are correct.
We'll
Yep.
figure out who's in or with or who's out. I guess in the
God,
coming weeks.
remember when this used to be easy and you would
Yeah,
just
you
know the
remember when they
teams that
used
were
to
in?
have the route through Florida, right? I mean, listen, could round two technically be Miami Tampa? Is that possible? They play two USL club teams
I
together.
gotta brush up on the handbook. I know they
Yeah.
released it. It's just,
Again,
is the
I
handbook
haven't
even
even out
still?
yet? Who even knows if the handbook's even out yet for the
It was released
2024
like
Cup?
2 days ago, wasn't it?
Something
Yeah,
like
like literally, like it's
that.
literally, yeah, it's just too much. Anyway, we're here kvetching about this. But yeah, so there's Open Stuff Cup going on. Enjoy
Open
it.
Stuff Cup. Yep. Open Cup stuff.
Open
Good
Stuff
job, buddy.
Cup. Yeah, I'm falling apart trying to put all this together. I'm gonna stop
Magic
looking at
Soccer
maps and
City.
books. Welcome to the Magic Soccer City, folks. We're having to have you here and enjoy the sports ball. Gentlemen, anything else to add? Because otherwise, I think we've done a pretty thorough show, and the wheels are coming off the wagon over here. So I'll take that silence as nothing
I
to add.
know. I just I go what I think we did a great job. I think this weekend there's going to be a lot of matches. I think we need to commit to dropping another episode next week. Hint, hint, for the ones who aren't here, it's time to step up. I can't be running the
Nice.
show all the goddamn time.
Oh
Been doing
boy.
this for 6 years. I'm tired.
Passive aggressive Omar is back. That means it's time for us to go. So, and by passive aggressive, I mean aggressive aggressive. So anyway, with that, Omar Mubayad, thank you as always.
This place would not have a heart without me.
Oh boy, here we go.
I
And Joel Delgado, thanks as always, pal.
don't know what part of the body of this thing I am, but I'm just glad to be part of it. So always fun to talk with you guys.
I consider myself the spleen. Like, it
There
definitely
you go.
does something, but
Joel, you're
also,
more than the appendix, we'll tell you
yeah,
that.
more than the appendix. That's
It
what I'm
means a
shooting
lot to me,
for
guys.
every
Appreciate
single time. So,
that.
until next time, again, he's been Joel Delgado and he's been Omar Mubayad. I've been Matthew Bunch. Go Inter Miami, go Miami FC, go US Open Cup against the powers that be, and go Miami Soccer.
I take it back. Leaves the heart, I'm the brain and the mouth.